Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, discover how to trust the Lord of Peace.
If you're a believer in Jesus and you've trusted Him as Savior and Lord, but you are worried and bothered about so many things and your heart is just like a tumultuous sea, it's just you're having trouble just eating or doing anything, you're just so nervous and so tense and so upset. Well, the problem's not with God, then mean old God, He's holding out on you. The problem is you're not abiding in Him.
The world will tell you that you can find peace in a bottle, a pill, or in going from one sensual thrill to another. But none of that is real peace. Those things are superficial, and though they might feel good for the moment, it doesn't last. However, there is a peace that is lasting, deep, and it's not dependent upon circumstances. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of the lesson, The Lord of Peace. And it's also the last message in Pastor Jeff's new 8-lesson series, The Church in the Last Days. Today, you'll discover 3 truths about the Lord of Peace that will change your life. Now, remember, this 8-message series is also our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount this month to From His Heart. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for this ministry, receiving no income from any donations. You can make that gift and receive it in the format of your choice by going online to fromhisheart.org. I'll tell you more later. Now, though, open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 for the conclusion of The Lord of Peace. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
God wants you and me to have shalom. He wants us to have peace. So let me share with you 3 truths from verses 16, 17, and 18 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Truth number 1, the Lord is the source of peace. The Lord is the source of peace. The Good News Bible brings this out as it translates verse 16 this way. May the Lord Himself, who is our source of peace, give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord Himself, the Lord Jesus, is our source of peace. The Bible says about Him, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, tells us about the one who's going to come, whose name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That means He's captain of peace. He's the master of peace. He's the owner of peace. He's in charge of peace. So the Lord is the source of peace. Truth number 2, the Lord wants to give you His peace. Well, that's a great truth. That's a great encouragement. The Lord would want to give me His peace. That's Paul's prayer for them, that the Lord would grant you, continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Jesus said that last night with His disciples in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." His perfect peace, He says, I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The Lord doesn't want our hearts troubled. He doesn't want our hearts fearful. He wants us to keep our eyes fixed on Him and to walk with Him and to trust Him and to cease striving and be still and relax and know that He is God. Now you mark it down, His peace is a gift to those who follow Him. It's not like the Nobel Peace Prize that only is going to come to one guy a year, and that guy has to be the cream of the cream of the cream of the crop. The Lord's peace is not like that. He offers it to anyone who will follow after Him, who will trust Him, who will walk in the light with Him. He says in Psalm 85, verse 8, "I will hear what God the Lord will say, for He will speak peace to His people, to His godly ones, but let them not turn back to folly." So do you want peace? It's available in Jesus. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. And not only is His peace a gift to those who follow Him, but His peace is always available in every circumstance. In every circumstance, no matter what you're going through in life, His peace is available for you. You know, as a pastor, you deal with people who are going through some really difficult times, people who have lost loved ones and their hearts are shattered, people who have just trauma come into their lives and family problems and divorce and the ravages of that and bankruptcy and all these things, terrible things that can come into life where you can be in an accident and all of a sudden you don't lose your life, but you lose the ability to do many things. You're confined to a wheelchair or whatever it might be, and it's an unwanted new normal for people. And people wonder, where is God? Well, God has peace for you in that situation, even in that circumstance. As bad as that circumstance could be, there is peace. There's peace in the fiery furnace. There's peace in the lion's den. There was peace for Peter when he got arrested by Herod Agrippa, and he was getting ready to kill him the very next day. We read about that in Acts chapter 12. Herod arrested James. You know, he had the big three apostles, Peter and James and John. James and John are brothers, and Peter and James and John were buddies in the fishing business together when the Lord called them. Well, James, he is the first of the apostles to be killed for his faith. Herod Agrippa had him put to death for his faith. And when he saw that the Jews liked that, they, oh, that's great. We hate that guy, James, because he calls us out. And he calls us to repent. So he arrested Peter. And he put Peter in chains. He had four squads of soldiers guarding Peter, which means he had 16 soldiers. And they changed every 6 hours. And two would be chained to Peter. And then two would guard the door of the prison house. And the next day, he was going to bring Peter out and put him to death. So I want you to think about this. You're Peter. And you have the sentence of death on you, and your buddy James just got killed by the sword. Herod chopped his head off, and you're next. And it's the night before your execution, and the church is praying for Peter, and Peter is sleeping on the night before his execution. God answers the prayer of the church. He sends an angel, and the angel comes in, and the Bible says the angel gave Peter a whack. It struck him on the side to wake him up. It doesn't say, and the angel gently touched his shoulder saying, Pete, wake up. He doesn't do that. He gives him a shot. Hey, Peter, get up. Now, why would the angel have to give him a strike on the side? Because he's asleep. He's sound asleep. How well would you sleep the night before you were going to be executed? Probably not well. I mean, we don't sleep very well the night before we're going to give a speech in front of a bunch of people. I can't sleep. I'm just so nervous about that. If you're going to get your head cut off the next day, you probably are going to have some trouble. Peter was asleep, deeply asleep. Why? Because he trusted the Lord. In every circumstance, you can trust God and have the peace of God, as the Bible says, which surpasses all comprehension. Philippians 4. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Just as those soldiers were guarding Peter, the peace of God will guard you and surround you. It doesn't make sense. It passes all understanding and all comprehension. God's peace is available in every circumstance. I love Isaiah 26, verse 3. I share this with so many people, especially when they are dealing with difficulties in the hospital or whatever. Isaiah 26, verse 3, and you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's a promise from God. And so when you're going through difficult times, Isaiah 26, verse 3, a great verse to pray back to God. Say, God, this is what you said. This is what you promised, that you would keep me in perfect peace if I would keep my mind fixed on you. So, Lord, I want to fix my eyes on you. I want to trust you. I don't want to look at the circumstances. I hear what they're saying to me, and I know what's going on. I'm not oblivious to that, but I'm looking to you. My eyes are on you, and I'm trusting you to give me peace. And see, peace is forfeited when we fail to abide in the Lord. Because peace is a gift from God. And God doesn't want us to not experience that. And so when If you're here and you're a believer in Jesus and you've trusted him as Savior and Lord, but you are worried and bothered about so many things and your heart is just like a tumultuous sea, it's just you're having trouble just eating or doing anything. You're just so nervous and so tense and so upset. Well, the problem's not with God, then mean old God, he's holding out on you. The problem is you're not abiding in him. You have somehow gotten your focus on your problems, and your focus is not on the Lord. Peter was doing good walking on the water when his eyes were on Jesus, but seeing the wind, he became afraid, and he began to sink. Now, the story in the Bible that illustrates this so well is Luke chapter 10, when Jesus went over to Mary and Martha and Lazarus's house for dinner, and Martha was busy in the kitchen making meatloaf for the master, and Mary is in the den with the men, seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. And Martha is working, sweating feverishly, whatever she's doing in there, because she wants to have this great meal for the master, and then Mary is not there. And so she gets mad, and she says to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, I'm doing all this work alone. You tell Mary to come in there and help me." And Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha." I think he says it with such sweetness and such love in his voice. "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. But only a few things matter, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Do you think maybe the Lord is saying to you today, maybe he's saying your name, Gene, Gene. You're worried and bothered about so many things. Sue, Sue, you're worried and bothered about so many things. Frank, Frank, you're worried and bothered about so many things. But you need to do what Mary's doing. You need to just sit at my feet. You need to just submit yourself to me. You need to listen to my word. You need to spend time with me. And then all those things that you are worried and bothered about, they'll take their rightful place. And you'll see that I am over those things. You don't need to be afraid because I am over those things. Hey, we forfeit our peace when we fail to abide in the Lord. And then truth number three. Not only is the Lord our source of peace, not only does the Lord want to give you his peace, but the Lord wants to give you peace only when you receive his grace. See, he says at the end of this letter, verse 17, "I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand." And this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. He's doing that because there was chapter 2, verse 2. In this letter, there was somebody that had a spurious letter. He had a fake letter and said it was from Paul. But Paul said, "No, here's how I write. Here's my distinguishing mark. This is how you know this is from me." And then he says in verse 18, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." In verse 16, he says, "The Lord be with you all." Verse 18, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Paul was from southern Tarsus because he used y'all a lot. He says, it'd be with y'all. And it just says you all. But, you know, we're from East Texas. We can say y'all. And Paul was saying that. He wanted God's grace to be with them. Now, when you read in the scripture, Paul's salutations in his letters, every time he does this, every time when he writes a letter, an epistle to a church or to an individual, he always says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." Grace to you and peace from God our Father. He uses those two things, grace and peace, and he always uses them in that order. Grace to you and peace. Never do you read peace to you and grace. You say, "Well, what's the difference? It doesn't really matter." It matters a lot. You can't experience God's peace until you first experience God's grace. So grace always precedes peace because there is no peace without you first receiving God's grace. And God's grace is what allows us to be saved. Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. For by grace we're saved through faith." Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is what opens the door to salvation. Grace is the Lord saying, "If you'll take my hand, I will lift you up out of the pit of sin." That is grace. And faith is just putting your hand in God's great big hand of grace. Grace always precedes peace. You've probably seen the bumper sticker that people had. It says this, know Jesus, N-O Jesus, then there's no peace. But when you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, you can know peace. There is no peace until you first receive God's grace. And the good news, additionally, grace and peace are abundant in Jesus Christ. Abundant for your every need. Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. God lavishes his grace upon those who respond to him. He doesn't dole it out with an eyedropper. He doesn't say, okay, I got grace, but here's two drops for you of grace. Don't ask me anymore. It's you get two drops. That's it. God just, he just pours it out. He just lavishes it, his grace upon us. And if you need his grace, he said, come boldly before his throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hey, we receive grace when we receive Christ, and the whole Christian life is about his grace. Grace is the desire and the power to walk with God and to trust God and to believe God. That is grace. It's all a gift of grace. And so the Christian life starts by grace through faith, and it continues by grace through faith. And we just keep trusting the Lord every single day, and he has grace to help us in our time of need, and he lavishes it upon us, and he lavishes his peace upon us. It's available. Now listen, the Bible talks about peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That comes the moment that a person is saved. The moment that a person receives Christ, turns from sin and turns to Jesus, that person puts his faith and trust in Jesus, puts his puny little hand of faith in God's great big hand of grace, and they're saved. And at that moment, you have peace with God. That means there's no war going on between you and God. There's no enmity between you and God. You're not distant from God anymore. You're connected. You're adopted into his family. He transfers you from the kingdom, the domain of darkness, into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That is peace with God. Every Christian has that. The second kind of peace, not every Christian avails themselves to this, and this is the peace of God. That's what we've been talking about, the inner tranquility in your heart. Peace, the peace of God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You have peace with God, you have the peace of God, and you have, thirdly, the God of peace. The Lord of peace himself. You know the greatest gift that God gives any one of us? Himself. When he gives us his spirit to live inside of us, his spirit is the God of peace. He's the Lord of peace himself. God is three persons in one. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, and we have the God of peace living inside. Now, as we close out, I realize that you struggle, and I struggle, and Paul struggled with fear and with worry, because we're human beings. And I'll have people come to my office, and they'll talk to me about a problem that they're having, and it's a big burden. And it's not, most of the time, it's not made up. It's a real thing. And so they'll talk about, this is weighing on me. I can't sleep. I can't eat. It's just on me, on me, on me. And I said, you know, the Lord tells us, cast our burden on him and he'll sustain us. He'll never allow the righteous to be shaken. And so I have this big book on my desk. It's a book on Egypt, and it probably weighs about 15 pounds. It's a big, heavy book. And I said, let's let this book, I'll use my Bible just as an illustration. So I said, let's let this book represent your burden, this thing that's got you, that's eating your lunch and stealing your joy and stealing your sleep and stealing your peace. I said, here's your burden. You have it on your back, and it's weighing you down, and you're not able to handle this. I said, here's what the Lord wants you to do. He says, cast your burden on me, and I will sustain you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I said, you need to give that burden to the Lord. Well, the natural response is, well, I've done that. And I do it, but then I'm still worried about it and I'm still bothered about it. I said, yeah, because this is what you're doing and this is what we all have a tendency to do. We have this big burden. We bring it to the Lord. We say, God, this is too much for me. You take this burden. And before we even say amen, we take the burden back. And so we're praying about it. We're kind of showing the burden to the Lord. Maybe we let our hands off it for a minute. You know, it's kind of like little boys wanting to show his mom he can ride without hands on the handlebars. Hi, look at me. And then he's back on there. And we do that. Here, Lord, this is the burden. See, I'm going to leave that with you. Amen. And we take it back. And we still got our eyes fixed on that burden. And we're just struggling with it. Hey, this is what you do. You cast your burden on the Lord and you leave it there with him. And you claim his peace. Thou wilt keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. You say, Lord, this is what you promise. And when you find yourself worried and bothered about that burden, whatever it might be, just know I've taken this back. That's why I'm worried and bothered, because I've taken it back. The Lord wants me to cast it on him and leave it with him. So I have to pray again. Lord, I've taken this back. I don't want this. This is too great for me. I'm going to trust you with this. And you keep putting it back on him. And every time you find yourself worried and bothered and stressed and distressed about it, just know I've taken this burden back. This is an alarm going off inside that says you've taken the burden back. You need to give this to me. You need to trust me with this. And hey, here's the thing. You may have to pray and give God your burden 100 times in a given day because you have such a tendency to take it back. That's okay. You do it. Even if it's 100 times, do it. Because the next day, maybe you only have to do it 80 times. And the next day after that, maybe it's only 50 times. And then maybe it's only 30 times. And then maybe it's only 20 times. And then maybe in your day, you're only having to do that 2 or 3 times. Because you're learning how to cast your burden on the Lord and claim his peace in the midst of your storm. Now may the God of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.
If you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way, we invite you, God is inviting you, to come to him now and sincerely cry out to him from your heart. He wants you to repent from your sin and put your faith in Christ. Surrender to him access to your heart today and abandon your own efforts to achieve salvation any other way. And you'll find real peace as you live for him every day. You can find out more by visiting our website and click the Why Jesus link for free information and material to help you understand and stand up for Christ. God bless you. Today you heard part 2 of the message, The Lord of Peace, from the 8-lesson series called The Church in the Last Days. It's a brand new series from Pastor Jeff, and today's message was the last in the series. And in the series, you'll learn how to live an effective Christian life by keeping the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the return of Christ on the forefront of your mind and heart all the time. Pastor Jeff shares the good news of the return of the King and how we are to live a life of expectation and peace, trusting in our blessed hope that is coming soon. This series is our gift of thanks to you this month for your support of any amount from His Heart. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the series, The Church in the Last Days. It's available in the format of your choice. Thanks again for what you can do to join this outreach each day to help us open hearts and minds to the truth of the gospel and how to prepare for the church in the last days. That is good news. I'm Larry Nobles, hoping you'll be with us tomorrow, and Pastor Jeff will continue this end time theme for this month with some clarity on the reality and timing of the rapture. Join us on Thursday, right here on From His Heart. His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.